All right, now for the survival of Tibetan Buddhism as an integral part of Buddhism in the West, of Western Buddhism. Indeed, we may say, of world Buddhism. At present, Buddhism is in process of being introduced into the West, as indeed are many other Eastern teachings. This is one of the great characteristics of our times. All sorts of dreadful things are with us. The atom bomb is with us. The hydrogen bomb is with us. But at least there are one or two brighter and more hopeful developments. And one of these is that Eastern teachings, whether Buddhist or Hindu or Taoist or Confucian, these are percolating. These are penetrating, perhaps even eventually permeating the West, the whole Western world, whether Europe or whether the Americas. Now, so far as Buddhism is concerned, Buddhism is being introduced into the West in many different forms. It comes sometimes in the form of Theravada. That is to say, comes from Ceylon, Burma, Thailand. Comes sometimes in the form of Zen. That is to say, comes from Japan. Now, it's already evident, one may say, that Western Buddhism will follow no one Eastern tradition exclusively. Sometimes Buddhists who come from the East are rather hopeful that their particular brand of Buddhism, whether it's the Theravada or whether it's Zen and so on, will be introduced into the West, will take root here, and that all the English Buddhists will be strict Theravadins, or all the English Buddhists will be staunch followers of Soto Zen and so on. But as far as I can see, this is just not going to happen. It certainly isn't happening at present. So far as one can see, what is happening is, and I think this will continue to happen, that Western Buddhism is and will learn from all the different Eastern, from all the different Oriental traditions of Buddhism. We shall make the acquaintance of all of them one by one, whether Theravada, Zen, Tendai, Mahayana, Madhyamika, Tantra. There are so very many of them. They'll all be introduced, they'll all become known. But what will happen is that in the West, people will try to extract the essence of the teaching, the Buddha's real message, from all these different, sometimes differing, traditions. And this essence, this ultimate thing in the teaching, this vital element in the teaching, they will then try to adapt, as it were, to the needs, the psychological and the spiritual needs of Western man. In the West, I know, people who are interested in religion, who are interested in philosophy, have become very weary of orthodoxies, have become very weary of too much attention, too much importance being given to things which are basically not very essential, which are even quite unimportant, quite unrelated to the essence of the teaching. So it's quite inconceivable, it's quite unthinkable, that people in the West who take up Buddhism are going to pay very much attention to the inessentials, the trappings of the traditions, the various Buddhist traditions, as they have been handed down in the East. People who do turn to Buddhism at all, who do turn to any sort of spiritual teaching, especially any spiritual teaching emanating from the East in the West, people of this kind are too much concerned with ultimates. They're too much concerned with real human problems to be able to waste their time on accidental things and the trimmings and trappings of Eastern Buddhism. These things are just not going to go down very well, I feel, here in the West. So we are going to try to come to grips with, to terms with, to encounter, if you like, as quickly as possible, the essence of Buddhism, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, what he was really getting at, what he was really talking about, which was nothing, basically, than enlightenment and the way to enlightenment, mainly through ever-increasing awareness. This is what the Buddha was getting at, and this we shall see reflected, this we shall see or hear echoed in all these different traditions in different ways. And it's through this main essential theme that we shall pay more and more attention, trying to adapt it to our own lives and to the lives of those around us. But when we speak of adaptation, it should not be thought that there's any question of compromising the teaching or watering it down. What one is concerned with is the effective communication of the essentials of the teaching. There's no doubt that very much that passes for Buddhism in the East has no connection with the teaching whatever. I remember that in Burma, for instance, just to give one example, there was a very bitter dispute as to whether monks, when they went out from the monastery, should go out with the right, with the left shoulder covered and the right uncovered, or whether they should cover the right shoulder also. There was a very bitter dispute that went on in Burma among different sections of the monks, and it went on for 100 years. And many books were written about this, about whether one should uncover this shoulder in going out of the monastery or whether one should keep it covered. And this controversy engaged practically the entire energies of the Burmese monastic community for one whole century. And even now the question is not settled. Now remember, my own teacher, that is my own teacher of Pali and Theravada, Bhikshu Jagadish Kashyap, who was a rather liberal-minded sort of person, when he went to Ceylon, they wanted to find out which Nikaya, which subsect of the Sangha, he belonged to. Now, I should explain that in Ceylon there are three different groups among the monks. There are the Shama Nikaya people, then there are the Ramaniya Nikaya, and then there are the Amarapura Nikaya. So the Shama Nikaya people, they follow the traditions of Thailand. The Amarapura and the Ramaniya, they follow traditions of Burma. But one of these schools covers the shoulder when going out, the other doesn't. And the Thai school doesn't cover. So my teacher, when he arrived in Ceylon, he was asked, to which Nikaya do you belong? This is the burning question, as it were. So he was a broad-minded man, he was a liberal-minded man, and he didn't like this sort of question. So he didn't say Ramaniya Nikaya, he didn't say Amarapura Nikaya, and he didn't say Shama Nikaya. He said, Nikaya? Oh, Buddha Nikaya, of course. So they weren't satisfied with this, and they wanted to trap him. So they said, well, all right, but when you go out of the monastery, do you cover the right shoulder or not? So Kashyapji, who's not only a great scholar, but also has quite a sense of humor, he said, when it's hot, I keep one shoulder uncovered. And he said, when it's very, very hot, I go so far as to uncover both shoulders. But there are very few who adopt this more rational sort of attitude. But this, I say, just by way of illustration, to demonstrate that in the East, Eastern Buddhists are very often preoccupied, excessively preoccupied, with completely trivial matters and attach tremendous importance to these things. But this is a little by the way.